Hey guys, and welcome to episode 4 of the Rocket Jump Film School podcast, Office Hours. And today we talk to our friend Daniel Johnson, a professional trailer and TV spot editor, who also edited our trailers for VGHS seasons 1 and 2, as well as our Netflix trailer. We're also talking to film school producer Cherish Chen, who produced movie trailers before she came to Rocket Jump, and actually worked on the latest Mad Max campaign, which is pretty awesome. So we're going to talk a little bit about cutting trailers and take a look at the industry and ultimately ask ourselves, you know, what really makes a good trailer. So hope you guys enjoy.
Rocket Jump Film School, scene one, Apple, take one, Mark.
Hey guys, welcome to another Office Hours podcast with Rocket Jump Film School. And today we're going to be talking about what makes a good trailer. And I have Daniel Johnson and Cherish Chen from our film school talking about trailers. Hey guys.
Hello.
Hello.
Thanks for talking with us today.
Of course.
Can you introduce yourselves really quick? I know I said your names, but just talk a little bit what you do and what your experience is.
I'm Daniel Johnson. And I'm an editor, and mainly I work on TV spots and trailers for movies. I've also worked on a few of the trailers you may have seen for Rocket Jump's various projects over the years.
Very cool. You guys hopefully know me. I'm Cherish. I'm the Rocket Jump Film School creative producer. But in a previous life, I was an associate producer at a trailer house. So I spent a couple years producing trailers, TV spots.
But not the same one.
No, we were at different
times. We were competitors.
We were competitors. We're spies. Mm-hmm. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. We're not spies.
Let's talk a little bit about the process of how trailers get made. Like, who's in charge of that? How does that whole process start?
Well,
in the industry.
That's the question. I mean, I could answer, but you should answer the industry stuff.
Okay, well, from the industry standpoint, usually the flow would be, basically, a producer would get a job, more or less. It's very client-based. Mm-hmm. So the client is usually a studio. Sometimes it could be a filmmaker themselves. Mm-hmm. Bringing it into you to be like, okay, I need a trailer done or mm-hmm. a TV spot, mm-hmm. whatever. And then they might request an editor. Sometimes not. The producer will just kind
usually
of decide who's best.
Usually the producers decide who's the right for the project and who doesn't have too much on their plate or who's available, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of elements to it. And then the process, I'd say, once it gets between editor and producer varies depending on what their relationship is, mm-hmm. like what their process is. It can usually be, you know, they'll either do a music pull first and they can operate off that. A lot of times you'll get direction from the client about specifically what they want, where the trailer is going to play, to what audience, you know.
What their demo, what they want in the movie to feel like.
Yeah, you know, like a Comic-Con trailer is going to be really different from a theatrical trailer or something that'll only be on the internet, you know? So that all varies.
I find that gets much more specific with TV spots. Like trailers are generally like, just make, you know, just sell a movie, get people excited with the movie. Whereas a TV spot's much more like, this is for kids. This TV spot's for moms. This TV spot is for like, you know, old men, like things like that. Like, it's like, seriously,
they get very,
very specific about mm-hmm. like what audience you're playing to based on what time slot the TV spots are going to air and things like that. Like it gets very nitty gritty down
or
there.
Or what channel, you know, sometimes you'll mm-hmm. do a more general one for, you know, ABC, and then you'll do a really kiddie one for a Disney XD.
There's always that urban one they do.
I know. Always weird. That's a little tidbit into the marketing
world. You're like, oh, can we just sell a movie? But whatever.
Anyway. Yeah. It gets very businessy. But and then after you kind of get direction about what you're specifically doing, it can get into like, music pulls is usually my favorite part, but sometimes the editors just want to jump into it.
Music is a huge part of trailers. And sometimes, you know, you can use music from the movie, but often music from the movie isn't necessarily right for the trailer itself. Sometimes there are. Sometimes you're watching the movie and you go, oh my gosh, that's the song. That's the, you know, piece of music that we can just, you know, use for the trailer. But a lot of the time it's like, no, trailer music has a very distinct feel and flavor, and you want to make sure that you find something for that. So, you know, sometimes you bring something to the table. Either it can be specifically music written for trailers, or sometimes it's like a pop song, or, you know, not even a pop song necessarily, but a well-known song that fits kind of what the movie's about and kind of gets the tone of the movie. And I often, because I love music, I do try to come up with those things myself. But of course, you have music people who specifically, they know that stuff really well, and they bring, you kind of talk with them about general feels until you kind of come up with something that's maybe going to work, and you try it out.
Yeah. I'd say the cool thing about trailers is kind of like a mini film production in the sense of like you have all these roles. It's very collaborative, except it's almost all based in post, right?
Yeah.
So you've got like a music supervisor, you've got graphics people, you've got writers who are, you know, like sometimes
copywriters,
Yeah, they'll do copy or else they'll script out the whole thing about like exactly if it's, you know, for certain cases of a movie's very complicated and you're trying to, you do need to convey what the movie's about.
Right.
In a very short time.
Yeah.
A writer can help.
And that's the thing. I don't want to jump the gun here. Well, I'll save it for later. We'll get into that later. I was going to talk about how you structure a trailer in general. Yeah. But
we'll get there. Get into that.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about actually, and I thought the idea of tailoring trailer specifically to specific audiences was really interesting. What's an interesting trend that has been happening in trailers recently that has stuck out to you?
I feel like there's always these cycles of like, you kind of like see one trailer does something really interesting you haven't seen before, and then all the trailers do it.
Yeah.
And like a few years ago, it was like, I'm sure you guys all, everybody caught up on this too, but like it was the Inception trailer. And when I saw that Inception trailer, I thought that trailer is awesome. I loved it. You know, the old
Inception.
Yeah.
And like then every trailer did that. It just did like big, loud, boomy noises as like a main thing they build to the trailer. And it kind of got, people got kind of sick of it. And then, you know, there was the Social Network trailer, which I thought was really, really, really great when it came out, that used that Scala song. It was a cover of...
You Can't Always Get What You
Want. No. It was not.
I'm thinking about the trailer that just came out.
That was the newest one. And the Scala, it used... Creep.
Yeah.
It used for the Social Network. And it was great. It was awesome. It made liking like a Facebook post like the most profound thing I've ever seen. and it was wonderful. And then and now every trailer does like the creepy cover of like a song. So I know a bunch of more have done this, but I mean Avengers did, I actually like the way Avengers did. I thought Avengers did a good job
with
it.
Suicide Squad.
But now, and then we just had Suicide Squad this last week that was doing it too, and it was just like, okay guys, like the creepy little kid thing's kind of been played out. I mean even
they'll keep doing it.
They'll keep doing it. But they did it with Maleficent, had like the like cover of Once Upon a Dream and everything.
Yeah. We recorded that.
Yeah, I know. It was great, but it was like, it's like that's ours. The thing now is like now you like find like a slow, creepy version of this of a well known song, and like that's your thing. So things come and go.
I would say another trend is, in a lot of superhero movies is floating voiceover over just cool shots that aren't really linked. But that's because a lot of movies nowadays are based off properties we already know, right? So it is like very hype based because you don't need to know who that voice is because you can kind of start inferring who that is.
Yeah.
So that's pretty popular. I think the hard thing about trends though, that it, because we watched, I used to watch so many trailers every day. That was my job, right? So you would get caught up in what was doing really well. You had all these trailers you loved, and it was so hard to break out of the trend.
Yeah.
And to not be directly influenced by what is popular right now or what is really cool right now.
Right.
You'd be working on a heist movie, and you're like, oh, that, or like an action movie, and be like, oh, the Kingsman trailer was so cool. You know, you're like, how do I not
just make that
the Kingsman trailer again?
You know? I mean, sometimes, sometimes you get a movie that's not very good. You get that a lot, and you kind of just like, well, let's just see how this other good movie did it, because we just kind of got to sell it the best we can. But ideally, you're going to try to do something new and different that really makes it stand out, makes it different, and that sort of thing.
And speaking on that, like, let's kind of get into it. What you guys think is makes a good trailer, and how do you go when you're looking at footage and looking at movies and stuff like that, what's the decision, like how do you start pulling things, how do you go in with like kind of a plan, or do you go in with like, let's see what's interesting about this film?
I think you should talk about your
process. I'll talk about my process, which is different for everybody, but when I get asked, hey Dan, can you check out this trailer, if it is for a job with the producer, or if there have been some general directions, I keep that in mind, but I generally try to watch the movie once completely dry, just kind of like, okay, movie, show me what you got. Like, I don't want to like have too many preconceived notions about things. I'll kind of keep my ears open and eyes open in terms of like, oh, that's a cool shot. That's a good moment. That's like a great line. Like, you guys, I'm sure know this, can see this, but you always find those trailerly like talkback lines. Like, you know, they're always like, nice job, or, you know,
that was cool,
or whoa, or like whatever it is. Like those, you always like those moments. You're like, okay, make a note of that. Like, good talkbacks and things. But you generally, I try to watch the movie once, if the movie's even done, which usually it isn't, but whatever they have, I try to watch once, and then I go back and I kind of comb through it and like organize everything by like good character shots, good scopey shots. I kind of like break it all down in my own way into like all the little like lines and moments and things that will be, you know, nicely organized, especially if I'm going to be working on a movie that's not just a trailer, but I'm going to be doing TV spots and things for it too.
Well, what other categories do you organize them?
Depends.
That might be useful. Like, what do you think is the most useful?
It does depend on the movie, but I usually do, my main ones I usually do are characters. So I do like really good ID shots. You always want to get those cool head turns, right? Ugh, the characters turning their heads really cool. Mm-hmm. So you always do cool head, like character so IDs, weird. Ones that really ID the characters. And I organize those by character. Definitely the talkbacks. If it's a comedy, I definitely like organize like quick specific jokes. Mm-hmm. Good jokey setups. Scope is a definite one I do. Big scopey shots that show how much money the movie spent, how pretty and giant and huge the movie
is. Production value
kind
stuff.
Of things. And those are always good ones to just kind of like open a scene with, and you go kind of down into it or something.
Would that include like cool VFX and stuff?
Yeah. So it depends on what you got. Yeah, VFX, mm-hmm. scopey things, just things that make you go like, wow. Wow, they did mm-hmm. that. And then I definitely do action, I usually do, and then kind of a subset of that, or depending on the movie I get, even more important than that is I do one called accents, which is really cool. It's kind of hard to describe, but like cool, quick little like moments. Like if a character just turns and cocks a gun really quick or something, it's like those are things you can just punch up the end of a scene and kind of use to, you know, yeah, punch into things and kind of get in and out of places really quick. I usually for like, especially like a horror movie sometimes or something, I kind of do like vibe is what I have, which is a weird thing to describe, but it's like anything that's kind of like, ooh, that's cool and vibey and weird and strange, atmospheric and like kind of gives you a weird feeling without being anything specific. That one's always just kind of like a kind of grab bag of like, I don't know, throw it in there. And what else? I think that's generally a pretty good.
Yeah, no, that's really good. The accent I always think of is when people cut comedy and then the laughs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like you say something raunchy or whatever, there's a joke and you need to end that joke. A lot of editors cut in the ha ha ha.
Yeah, that's the reaction or something. I mean, that my favorite is, I've told you guys this before. But like for comedies is like, we literally have two sound effects called dog. I think they're called, I call them dog what, which is that dog noise that the dog goes. And like we have two, but dog what two is the better of the two dog whats. And that's like in comedies, like they always have the dog like that sort of thing.
Yeah. They also have glisten. What? Don't you have like a
I'm not going to tell that. It's my secret. I don't want to give away some of the
sound effects. Some of Dan's
trade secrets.
Yeah, trade secrets.
Sound secrets.
Yeah.
I think
give away everything.
Twinkle, you're talking about. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Sound effects,
he
though.
He can't give it away.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think...
technically, I mean, whatever. Go ahead.
I was like, obviously so much of trailers is editorial, but I think people forget the sound design element of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think a lot of trailers... It's like sound with production in general.
Yeah.
It's like it can be often overlooked.
I think that's the trickier part, the harder part, the part that really makes or breaks the trailer. Yeah, for sure.
Because it's almost more invisible.
Yeah.
And then you don't really listen for it unless you're trained in doing it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I think you covered really well what makes a good, like the process of putting together a trailer from an industry standpoint, because you work
in
the industry. I think like for people who are like filmmakers who really
want
to cut
that
their
too,
own trailers.
Definitely. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like I think what makes a good trailer, I think that was your original question.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
like what,
we're just going all over the place.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's get into it. What makes a good trailer?
I think what makes a good trailer, if you're going to cut it yourself, like what I look for, because I didn't edit necessarily when I did it, but what stands out is I'm trying to think of good advice. Like I always like think personality or like perspective, yeah. You know, in terms of your editorial is always stands out.
Well, yeah, what I do, and actually I think it's, and I actually think this is true with short films and feature films even, is I think this is a real reason why I think even a director who is an editor should really bring in another editor, because you always want another pair of eyes. And I'd say the same thing with a trailer, but a lot of people, I think, when they're trying to make fan trailers or their own trailers for their own projects and things, they kind of just go, okay, well, I'm just going to get a good song, and I'm going to lay that song down, and I'm going to have images from the movie, and that's going to be it, and that'll be great. I'll use some lines here and there, and it'll be awesome. And that's fine, but, like, a really good trailer is, in many ways, its own short film.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you know, even if it doesn't tell... You know, I know this is a complaint about a lot of big movie trailers. I don't like that trailers tell the whole story. I hate when they do that. Sometimes we don't have much choice. But you still do want to kind of say, okay, here's your setup. Here are your characters. Here's their big problem. Here's what they're going to face. Here's what they're going to be doing. I mean, that's very much a story trailer.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you're not doing a story trailer, like, you still want to make sure there's a very strong structure that your viewer can follow and not just be a bunch of random images.
Yeah.
I mean, not to toot my own horn too much, but a good example of, like, not being a story trailer but still very much conveying a narrative was the season 2 trailer I did for Video Game High School,
mm-hmm.
where I kind of, like, that whole trailer was about, hey, the whole point the trailer was saying was, hey guys, we're doing another season, it's season 2, and all your favorite characters are back, and they all have a new problem to face. And so, you know, it starts out with kind of the goofy bit about the law, because he's kind of like the big villain, right? And you kind of see he's doing something.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of launches in, and I definitely used a pod for each of the four main characters that kind of specifically said, here's the thing they're all doing. And it kind of was like, okay, I get it. Like, that's what season 2 is going to be.
Yeah.
New problems for their old characters, you know, mm-hmm. kind of thing.
I think a practical bit would be, like, I think when people say, or you watch tutorials on how to cut a trailer,
mm-hmm.
a lot of them are... based in, like, gimmicks, like, oh, you can dip to black and use, you know, like, this cool kind of copy. And it's like, I don't think that's a good way to go about it. I think it's really look at the material you're trying to cut a trailer for, the movie.
Right.
And, like, I totally agree with you. I think it's about telling a story that hooks you and intrigues people.
Mm-hmm.
And that shouldn't rely on, you know, flash
it shouldn't.
Cuts
it shouldn't
or,
be about.
Or, yeah,
it's. It,
I mean,
cuts,
it, I
mean, all that technical stuff is great, and that can really polish up a movie that doesn't have a lot going for it. But you know, that's just, if you have a good, interesting hook that makes people go, oh man, I can't wait to see where that goes or what that's
mm-hmm.
about. Then
mm-hmm.
then you're in a great place.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of amazing, because one of the things we talk about at the film school is everything goes back to serving your story,
mm-hmm.
and to say that even the trailer for the story
goes
back to serving the story.
Yeah.
The story should inform the form of the trailer.
Yeah. And I mean, on top of that, I don't mean lay out your whole movie necessarily. Like, my favorite trailer from this past year was the Comic-Con, I guess it's over a year now, but the Comic-Con piece for Mad Max, which was also just a totally rad movie, but which helps when you have an awesome movie. But what I love about that trailer is that if you watch the trailer, you might just think, oh, it's just a bunch of random stuff. But they still introduce who Max is and that it's a broken world, right? And then they kind of just go nuts. And it's all about hitting the vibe of that movie, though. That whole trailer is just like, you kind of don't know too much other than, like, Max is in this crazy world.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all you need. And it definitely gets the sense of what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's also a very important thing to hit, is, like, the tone of the movie.
Yeah. I think the Mad Max Fury Road, the entire campaign, was a really, really interesting case study for how... I mean, it's kind of an ideal case study, because the movie was so beloved by, like, people who were cutting years and years ago. You know, everyone wanted to just work on trailers and TV spots, anything they could do, because the movie was so good and the imagery was so cool.
Yeah.
But I guess the different perspectives that came out of everything that finished, every trailer, every TV spot, is really interesting because it represents a lot of different.
And I felt, I mean, and talking about something that finally didn't just do the whole old same old bag of tricks, like, that campaign was totally different and weird and experimental and cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people behind it. They did a really good job. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I worked on the Mad Max main trailer, and I remember that whole process was so arduous, but, like, that it so encouraged people to try whatever they wanted to. So I think that's an important thing, is don't resist the urge to use a bag of tricks. use the movie, use your own personality in terms of the editorial. Have fun with it.
Learn a bag of tricks, absolutely, but have those as tools, not as your thing.
Sure.
Just
yeah,
go
you
got to
know the rules before you can break them. Mm-hmm. From the story level, like that main trailer, people didn't know it when it first came out because they hadn't seen the movie. But that trailer is incredibly linear because the story is so linear.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if you watched it, it's like the beginning of that trailer was the beginning of the movie. And it just lent itself to that. So
girls and then they're escaping. You get that she's on the run.
Yeah exactly. Totally. I mean, we experimented with like jumping around the movie and using different action sequences up front and stuff like that. And it just didn't tell the story because the story was so clean already. Yeah. So again, it's kind of like finding, you can look at your own movie that you're trying to cut a trailer for and find your own hook, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And determining what that is can be tricky, but I guess a lot of other opinions, asking another editor helps.
Yeah, getting other people's eyes on it. I mean, making sure, testing your trailer, just like you test your movie, but saying, like, I mean, big movies do testing too to make sure that the people are understanding things. But ask your friends over and say, hey, do you understand what's going on? What'd you understand from this? What'd you get from this? Does it make sense? Does it not? Kind of like, you don't want to telegraph everything, but you want to make sure that they're following kind of the basics of what's happening.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Awesome. Is there like a good length for a trailer, do you think? Is there like a standard?
I mean,
that's controversial.
That's a good question.
It is a good question.
I think generally a good length for me is once you go over 230, even if you cut the best trailer ever, I think you're getting too long.
Mm.
I get kind of bored. There are ones that are longer than that. I think I always honestly just cut until and it sounds silly, but if I get a movie that's not through work and it's just kind of on my own that I'm working on just for fun or for a little extra money, whatever. hey, I'm not going to be honest here. It's for people I know and it's something I want to do and it's a cool project. I kind of just cut it until it feels good.
Yeah.
And I usually find that they're a little over 2 minutes or something like that. You know, it depends. Yeah. So
I like 90 seconds.
90 seconds? Mm-hmm. Like 90s?
I think 90 seconds is right smack dab in the middle of what you want. I feel like a lot of, like 2:30, 2 minutes, 30 seconds is the standard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's, it's there for a reason. It's tied up into industry stuff with obviously theaters and stuff like that. But I think that's just, that makes sense for a bigger movie where you're trying to convey a lot.
Sure, fair enough, yeah.
But I think for indie filmmakers who are trying to cut their own stuff, usually 90 seconds is all.
90 to 2 minutes.
You need to get, I'm sticking to my
90 seconds.
Right,
I'm
sticking to my 90 seconds, Dan. You can't bring me over.
How long was the trailer we cut for the series trailer?
I think that was about 90.
Was it about 90?
Yeah. Okay.
Well, there you go.
all
right.
We can, you can rub it in my face if it's totally wrong.
No, I don't know. That sounds about right.
It's like 4 minutes.
I think that one was shorter than this other ones I cut, so I was just curious.
Yeah, I think 90 is a good way to kind of like hint at what you're talking about and then right into it. But overall, the principle that Dan said is right. Whatever feels right.
I definitely, especially watching a lot of trailers, I definitely watch a trailer now and new big trailer hits, right? I check it out. And I definitely sometimes get kind of bored halfway through the trailer. And to me, it's like you want to leave them wanting more, not being bored of your movie before it's ever come out. So.
Yeah. If we're going to get really specific, like all those Comic-Con trailers just came out, And Comic-Con trailers, I understand, are, they're definitely specific.
You want them to be big.
They're longer. They're usually like 3 to 4 minutes because they're for fan service.
Yeah.
You're playing them in a big theater.
Yeah. People are going to feel cheated if they waited all night long and see, they want to see something long.
Yeah, they want
totally.
Footage.
Yeah.
They want visuals. They want a lot of stuff. So I get it. Releasing them online always feels weird to me because people see trailer and they think, oh, that's its own complete little story wrapped up. Mm-hmm. And it's not, it's for a totally different purpose than a trailer typically is for a mass audience, right? But usually I think those are too long. Like, if we're going to get really specific. Like the Batman versus Superman one, every time it dipped down, it felt like it was going to be over, and then it came back up. Mm. It did that like 3 times, and I think that makes sense for Comic-Con,
totally,
but not for a general audience.
I'm sure that when they release the real trailer that we'll be seeing in theaters, it'll be something like that trailer, probably shorter.
Yeah, it'll probably be a cut down. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess another weird thing that we can talk about is how there's all this weird language.
Yes, there's a lot of weird lingo.
We have our own lingo in the trailer world.
Oh, gosh.
Let's see. I don't know. Cut downs is one.
Yeah.
Cut downs is like, hey, so we cut this trailer, but now we want to put it on TV. So we're going to make it 60 seconds long. Now we're going to make it 30 seconds long. Now we're going to get 15 seconds long.
10, 5. Radio spots.
Radio spots, yeah. So you kind of take the original thing and then you kind of just keep, well, that part doesn't need to be said, I guess, and that part doesn't need to be said, I guess, and am I there yet? No, I still got to lose more, and you kind of just keep narrowing it down. So what else?
Is a vocab lesson even interesting? I don't even know. Well, my favorite one, I'll just say my favorite one that we established when we were in, I don't know if this is like widespread, but it's the dog waffle, which is...
I've never heard of that. I don't know what that is.
The dog waffle, it's basically like this editor I worked with, I think, got it from another editor, or maybe she came up with it. But the dog waffle is basically, you know, when you are making waffles in the morning, and the first one you do is always kind of shitty and ugly, so you give it to the dog.
So the pan's still warming up.
Yes, right? Exactly. So you're testing it out. You're getting
your first cut, basically, your V1.
It's the sacrificial lamb. It's the one that you give to the client first to be like, wasn't that good? I was like, okay, here's a better one, though.
That's very producery. Editors don't care about that. Editors think that everything they cut is amazing.
I know. We don't tell you.
They think that everything's amazing, and they also think everything's terrible, just like any creative person.
You're highly neurotic about your own cut. Exactly. I don't know how you guys show so much of your own babies to people.
Well, I mean, one thing about, I don't know if this is, I don't know if I want to share this with the, but one thing is that, what percentage of stuff actually makes it through to the end?
Oh, gosh. Like, oh, yeah, we should talk about that.
10%? Yeah. I mean, you cut tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of stuff, and you send it to the client, and the client goes, this is all right. Okay, well, let's try it this way. And they give you notes and notes and notes, and you go back and forth, and you go up, 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 up. Your version numbers go all the way up. And you get to pretty far. I don't know how many versions you might go. And at a certain point, they go, yeah, I'm not feeling anymore. We're done with that one. That one's gone.
We didn't talk about this at all, actually. It actually goes back to the first question with the processes of editing a trailer in the industry, in the marketing industry. And it is, so you have your trailer, you cut it in, you submit it to the client for their thoughts. And either they don't like it at all and they never get back to you. It's just quiet, radio silence. That happens all the time. Yes, another one that happens.
Has some really stuff I really like has never made it.
Yep. But passed a V1. Mm-hmm. Another possibility is that they start doing revisions. So they'll call back with notes. You do the notes. You establish a back and forth. I've had a trailer go up to like version 64 where...
Wow. I've never had that happen, luckily. But
yeah,
I've had stuff go up pretty high, for sure.
You have late nights. You have, you know, you do whatever you need to do to get it done. But... things get up pretty high. A lot of times they'll rename them, and it's actually version 70 something, but they called it version 16.
Six. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, that'll happen. You know, it's all part of the process because there is a whole side on the client who they have to deal with their notes from their executives.
Right,
and stuff like that.
They're doing a whole song and dance on their side that we never get to see. So
yeah, so I get the percentage of your stuff that you cut, the stuff you produce, is probably like. 10% is generous. I would say it's...
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know.
It's even less.
Less than that, yeah.
Yeah.
Cut a lot. A lot of it doesn't get seen, but...
I'd say 5%?
Sure.
You could go, like, months without finishing anything.
Yeah.
That's what's so intense about it, you know?
Yeah, I guess you could. I've been lucky enough not to have that happen, but some of what I finish is still just like, eh... Not necessarily. I mean, sometimes you cut something you think is amazing, it never goes anywhere. And sometimes you cut something you're like, it's fine, whatever. And that's the one that finishes. You're like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a really, really interesting process because the film marketing industry has changed so much, even from like 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Like the producer I worked
from
with.
15 years ago.
The producer I worked with, he'd been around since Star Wars, you know, and a ton of stuff like that. So it's. The way they used to do it, there was not that many trailer houses. There were not that many editors working in trailers. So you would finish everything you did.
Now there's a ton.
And now there's 30, 40, like in LA alone.
Yeah.
So the competition goes up and the way the whole thing shifts.
Every movie is being worked on by many different houses all across town.
Yeah.
It's not like, I mean, every once in a while you are the guys working on this one movie, but if it's a big, big movie, no way.
Yeah.
It's being worked on everywhere.
Yeah.
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 I don't know if I think that's super interesting. To wrap it up a little bit, I mean, like, is there any advice or any suggestions you'd have for young editors who want to either start getting into trailer editing or tips on trailer editing?
Yeah.
Or producing?
Let's see.
I would say if you want to see if you want to, if you want to build an interest in trailer editing, get your hands on assets, movies, and start cutting.
When I was, so I started getting into editing when I was in high school. And then in college, this is what I did in college for fun. Rather than go to parties and things, I would spend a lot of time just, I would make fan trailers of just my favorite movies and things, or I would do a lot of mashups and things like that. And that's a really popular thing online now, where I would just kind of like be like, hey, you know what would be funny is we put this movie and this movie together.
Dan has
and
a
like,
pretty successful Up and Gran Torino mashup.
I have
on...
an Up and Gran Torino mashup that Roger Ebert retweeted.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, well done.
Got pretty popular. It's most, like, that was my most popular thing, I guess, I've ever made so far.
Anyway. To keep it succinct, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so edit. If that's something you end up wanting to do, the career path, I think, is pretty clear.
Yeah.
It is
like
find a trailer house, get your foot in the door. Almost everyone starts as a PA, becomes an AE, an assistant editor.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to cut even when you're in those positions. Stay late. Show stuff to the producers. Get feedback from them. And a lot of places that, if they like your work, if they think you're hardworking, they will do what they can and give you a good word or promote you to an editor. That's the story that a lot of trailer houses, I think. That's what happened to
That's
you.
That's what happened to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's PA, moved on up to AE and kept going and now an editor. So.
Yeah, awesome.
It's one of the few places where path is fairly clear, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, cool. I thought this was super cool. Thank you guys for talking with us.
You're welcome.
If you guys want to do this, you should cut your own trailer of your favorite movie and upload it to the forums. We'll have a discussion link in the YouTube description. If you're listening on iTunes, you can go to discuss.rocketjump.com or school.rocketjump.com and find us in the discussions and find that kind of stuff there and upload it, and we can give you direct feedback.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have Daniel on the forums, Cherish and me are on the forums all the time, Joey and Kevin and all of us here. And then we want to say thank you to Rode Microphones really quick just for being supportive of the podcast and all of that stuff. And I hope we can see you guys' work. Mm-hmm. So jump in the forums, get some feedback, and
Please upload those trailers.
We'd love
to see them.
Check them out.
Awesome.
See what you got.
So cool.
Those would be V1s, and we'll give you some feedback.
Don't send us the dog waffles.
Don't send us dog waffles if you can help it.
No dog waffles.
Yes.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Okay.
Bye.
Thanks.